Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar. And today we're Zechus Rosh Hashanah Daf Test, the first parak of Rosh Hashanah. This masechta has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three dafs we're going to focus on, number one, a brisa on Daf Ches Amud Beis stated that generally we are mosifim mechol al kodesh, we add from the mundane unto the holy. The Gemara here asks what the source is for the principle and brings a brisa that teaches. The pasuk states, Bechor shebekasher tishbos, at the plowing and the reaping you shall rest. Rabbi Kiva interprets this pasuk as discussing the Shemitah year. He therefore says the pasuk does not need to say that one should desist from performing the plowing and reaping on Shviz, for it's already stated, Sadcha lo tizra, your field, you should not sow, which prohibits most agricultural work during the Shemitah year. El Char shall ever Shviz, but Katsir shall mosi Shviz. Rather, it teaches that one must desist even at the plowing of the year before the seventh, whose benefit enters into the seventh, and that one must prescribe Kedusha Shviz to the reapings of the seventh year produce, whose growth continues into the year after the seventh. Rabbi Shmuel, who interprets this pasuk as discussing Shabbos, learns the principle of Mosif Mechol Kodesh from the pasuk dealing with fasting on Yom Kippur. Point number two, the Gemara brings the Malchokas time regarding the pasuk Yovo, he, it is Yovo, afu pishul shamtu, afu pishul otaku. The inclusionary term Yovo teaches that even if the people did not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, and even if they did not sound the shofar, the year retains its Yovo status. Therefore, it's forbidden to work the land. Now, it could be thought that Yovel takes effect even if they did not send away the slaves. The pasuk therefore states the exclusionary phase, he, it is, to teach that a year in which the slaves are not freed cannot attain Yovel status, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says that the pasuk is coming to include that even if they did not abandon the fields or send away the slaves, it is Yovel, and it's coming to exclude sounding the shofar, so that if it was not sounded, Yovel does not take effect. Rabbi Yossi explains that it is reasonable that the Torah will make Yovel dependent on an act which is always feasible, such as sounding the shofar, and not on an act that might be impossible to perform, such as in the case where there are no slaves to free. Also, sounding the shofar is masura lebeisden, within beisden's power to perform, whereas freeing slaves is not. And point number three, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba taught, Abba chachamim omrim shloshim ma'akvos, but the chachamim say that all three requirements, referring to relinquishing ancestral lands, blowing the shofar, and freeing the slaves, are essential for the year to attain Yovel status. When the Gemara asks what the exclusionary term Yovel comes to include, it answers, that it teaches that the laws of Yovel are in effect even outside of Eretz Yisrael. When the Gemara further objects because the pasuk states, you shall proclaim liberty ba'aretz, in the land, which implies that Yovel takes place only in Eretz Yisrael, it answers, that this expression comes to teach that only at a time that liberty is practiced for slaves in Eretz Yisrael, it's practiced outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. But at a time that's not practiced in Eretz Yisrael, it's not practiced outside of Eretz Yisrael. So once again, the three points are, number one, a brisa on Daf Ches Amud Beis stated that generally we are mosifim mechol al kodesh, we add from the mundane unto the holy. The Gemara here asks what the source is for this principle and brings a brisa that teaches. The pasuk states, Bechor shebekatzer tishbos, at the plowing and the reaping you shall rest. Rabbi Akiva interprets this pasuk as discussing the Shemitah year. He therefore says that the pasuk does not need to say that one should desist from performing the plowing and reaping on Shviz, for it's already stated, Sadcha lo tizra, your field you shall not sow, which prohibits most agricultural work during the Shemitah year. El Chor shall ever Shviz, but Katsir shall motzi Shviz. Rather, it teaches that one must desist even at the plowing of the year before the seventh, whose benefit enters into the seventh, and that one must prescribe Kedusha Shviz to the reapings of the seventh year produce, whose growth continues into the year after the seventh. Rabbi Shmuel interprets this pasuk as discussing Shabbos, learns the principle of Mosif Mechol Kodesh from the pasuk dealing with fasting on Yom Kippur. Point number two, the Gemara brings Malchokas Tanaim regarding the criteria necessary for the laws of Yovel to take effect. It was taught in a brisa regarding the pasuk Yovel, he, it is Yovel, afu pishul shamtu, afu pishul otaku. The inclusionary term Yovel teaches that even if the people did not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, and even if they did not sound the shofar, the year retains its Yovel status. Therefore, it's forbidden to work the land. Now, it could be thought that Yovel takes effect even if they did not send away the slaves. The pasuk therefore states that the exclusionary phrase, he, it is to teach that a year in which the slaves are not freed cannot attain Yovel status, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says that the pasuk is coming to include that even if they did not abandon their fields or send away the slaves, it is still Yovel, and it's coming to exclude sounding the shofar, so that if it was not sounded, Yovel does not take effect. Rabbi Yossi explains that it's reasonable that the Torah will make Yovel dependent on an act which is always feasible, such as sounding the shofar, and not on an act that might be impossible to perform, such as in the case where there are no slaves to free. Also, sounding the shofar is masura lebeisden, within beisden's power to perform, whereas freeing slaves. It's not. And pointing through Bechibar Abatat, Avachachamim Omrim Shloshim Ma'akvos, but the Chachamim say that all three requirements referring to relinquishing ancestral lands, blowing the shofar and freeing the slaves are essential for the year to attain Yovel status. When the Gemara asks what the inclusionary term Yovel comes to include, it answers how da'afil b'chutzlarz, that it teaches that the laws of Yovel are in effect even outside of Eretz Yisrael. When the Gemara further objects because the pasuk states, you shall proclaim liberty ba'aretz, in the land, which implies that Yovel takes place only in Eretz Yisrael, it answers how b'zman shenoeg dror ba'aretz noeg b'chutzlarz, that this expression comes to teach that only at a time that liberty is practiced for slaves in Eretz Yisrael, it is practiced outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. But at a time that's not practiced in Eretz Yisrael, it's not practiced outside of Eretz Yisrael. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Tes, and our standard simon is a teapot, because a teapot starts with a T sound, and also because a Tes sort of looks like a teapot. So here goes. The little old ladies who had a tea party, when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began, to be Mosik Mechol al Kodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel begin, even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, couldn't believe it when they heard that people even in Chutzlarts were freeing their slaves. Once again, in slow motion. The little old ladies who had a tea party, that must be on Duff, Tess, teapot. The little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, which reminds us we have Malchus regarding the source for Mosif Mechol HaKodesh. Rav Akiva learns it from Bukhar Shubakatsir Tishbos, which he says applies to the Shemitah year. Since we already know that agricultural work cannot be done during Shviz, based on the Pasuk Sadcha L'Sisra, he applies it to before and after Shviz, that one must desist even at the planning of the year before the seventh, whose benefit enters in the seventh, and that one must prescribe Kedusha Shviz to the reapings of the seventh year produce, whose growth continues into the year after the seventh. Rabbi Shmuel, who interprets this Pasuk as discussing Shabbos, learns the principle of Mosif Mechol HaKodesh from the Pasuk dealing with fasting on Yom Kippur. So the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel will begin even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, which reminds us, we have a Malchus regarding the criteria for Yovel to take effect. Rav Yudah says, it will take effect even if the people do not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, and even if they do not sound the shofar, but will not take effect if they do not free their slaves. Rav Yossi says it will take effect even if people do not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, nor free their slaves. It will not take effect if they do not sound the shofar, and two reasons are given. So the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel begin, even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, couldn't believe it when they heard that even people in Chutzlarts were freeing their slaves. Which reminds us that the Chachamim say that all three elements are essential for Yovel to take effect. The exclusionary term Yovel has come to teach that the laws of Yovel are in effect even outside of Eretz Yisrael, and people must free their slaves. That is, if in Eretz Yisrael they are freeing their slaves. So once again, the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel will begin even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, couldn't believe it when they heard that even people in Chutzlarts were freeing their slaves. All right, now it's time for a four brought back Chazara. Daf Hey, so the simmer Daf Hey is Hey. So here goes. The children joyously jumping in the hay. Hey, that must be one Daf Hey. The children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, which reminds us, the Gemara asks where the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon derive that Shavuos has 7 days of Tashlumim, and answers that they derive it from the source presented in the Brisa taught by Rabbi Bar Shmuel, which taught Am Retorat Mene Yomim Mekadesh Chodesh. The Torah said two things: count days and sanctify Rosh Chodesh, Mene Yomim Mekadesh Atzeres, count days and sanctify Chag Shavuos. This teaches Ma Chodesh L'Menuyev, just as the beginning of the month is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a day, Af Atzeres L'Menuyev. So to Shavuos is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a week. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Baal Ta'achir parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pe'aleka and Sadaka, which reminds us that Brais on Dav Dalad Amud Aleph listed several obligations that are subject to the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir, such as Nadarim, Nadavos, Hekdeshos, Sadakos, Maisos, Bechor, Pe'aleka, Shechel, and more. The Gemara here brings the source for each of these rulings. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Baal Ta'achir parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pe'aleket and Tzedakah, were fascinated when one man noticed a blemish on his offering and transferred its kedusha to a substitute. which reminds the Gemara what the Braisa is referring to when it teaches that one is not chayav for Baal Ta'acher for delaying payment of chiluf of its substitute. And after the first explanation is rejected, Rav Shesha said, Kagon Sha'arba Lav Shnei Ragaim Behumam. We're dealing with the case where two Ragaim passed, and then the original Ola Shlomi became blemished, whereupon he transferred his Kedusha to another animal, and one more Yantav passed. You might have thought, Hoyo Umikoch Kamakas, since the substitute comes by virtue of the first offering, it's treated as a single offering that passed three Ragaim, and the owner should be chayav for Baal Ta'acher. The Pasuk is coming to teach that he's not chayav.
Dav Vav, so the similar Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes.
The wealthy sword swallower. Sword? That must be on Dav Vav. The wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, which reminds us, we learned from Befichoch that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher on tzedakah, and he has to give it out immediately because the anim need it immediately without delay, and he shouldn't think that he's only chai after three regalim pass, like in the case of Karbanas. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher each and every day after the deadline, which reminds us, one is chai for Baal Ta'acher for each and every day after the deadline passes. The Mir explains that since the mitzvah Baal Ta'acher does not apply at night, since korbanos cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Baal Ta'acher, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be mesamecher for the chag. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zeir inquired if women are chayiv in Baal Ta'acher, perhaps since they're not chayiv in Re'iyah, they're not chayiv in Baal Ta'acher, or perhaps since they are chayiv in Simcha, they are chayiv in Baal Ta'acher. According to Abai, women are not chayiv in Simcha, rather it's the husband who's chayiv to be mesamecher.
Dav Zayin, so the Simcha Dav Zayin is a gun. So here goes.
The gunslinger, that must be on Dav Zayin, Clay Zayin, gun. The gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan, Rosh Hashanahs, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the reason our Tanya does not include months in the Mishnah is that he's discussing the ways in which the New Year is relevant to years, meaning to 12-month periods that have halachic significance. He's not discussing ways in which it's relevant to months. He did not include Iburim because he's only discussing beginnings. He's not discussing culminations, such as the end of a period when the court may proclaim a leap year, and he did include the separation of Shkalim, since the Braisa taught that if one brought the funds from the old year, he fulfilled his chiyuv, and therefore the Tanna could not state it as an absolute rule, for this implies it would invalidate the old Shkalim. Therefore, he chose to omit this halacha entirely. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Iber year, giving him a second Adar of rent. Which reminds me of a machlokes regarding until when can one add a leap year? Is it the entire month of Adar or only until Purim? The Gemara explains that the reason for limiting the adding of a leap year only until Purim is that since people learn the halachos 30 days before Pesach, the people might come to be lax in observing the prohibition against chametz. Rashi explains that people in the distant communities will have it fixed in their minds that Pesach is in 30 days and they'll not listen to the messengers that come who tell them that it's a month later. The Gemara explains the other Talmud would respond that people know that declaring a leap year depends on calculations, and the reason for the delay was that the rabbis didn't finish their calculations until this time. So the gunslinger knocking out targets with suggestions for other Nisan Rosh Hashanahs, who was thrilled when it was determined after Purim that it was an Iber year, giving him a second Adar of rent, shot up his lease in fury when he realized he signed it that it was for this year and expired the first of Nisan. Which reminds us that if one said that the period of the lease was for Lashana Zot this year, then even it was on the first of Adar when the lease was signed, Kevin Shigi Yom Echo Ben Nisan also Lashana, as soon as the first day of Nisan arrives, a year has been completed. The Gemara explains that even according to the one who holds Yom Echo B'Shana Chashuv Shana, one day of a year, is considered like an entire year, it's different here, Dolotarch Inish Lemega Base Lobatsu Matrasin Yomim, because a person doesn't bother to rent a house for less than 30 days. Dav Ches, so the Simur Dav Ches is Chala. See, here goes. The special Chala, that must be more Dav Ches. The special Chala served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and Day of Judgment, which reminds us we have three different pshatim for what the meaning is, that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Shanim, for years. It's either for Shtaros, for Tekufos, seasons, or for din. The makor that it's for din, for judgment, is from the pasuk Mereshis Hashana Badachu Shana. The eyes of Hashem are on it, meaning Eretz Yisrael, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. This means Mereshis Shana Nidon Maye Besofer. From the beginning of the year, judgment is issued regarding what will occur at the end. So the special challah served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, which reminds us, the Gemara continues and asks how we know that the pasuk Mereshis Hashana Ba'ad Achri Shana is referring to Tishrei and answers, For it's written, Tiko b'chosh shofar, b'chesel yom chageinu blow shofar at the moon's renewal, when the moon is covered on our festive day. Now, on which chag is the moon covered? You must say that this is Rosh Hashanah, for Rosh Hashanah is the only chag that falls at the beginning of the month when the moon is hidden from view. And it's written in the next pasuk, Ki chok Yisrael hu mishpat elokei Yaakov, because it's a statute for Yisrael, a judgment day until the God of Yaakov. We therefore see that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. So the special chal is served at the Rosh Hashanah meal, marking the seasons and day of judgment, was baked in the shape of a shofar in front of a covered moon, and was presented on a platter inscribed, Happy Start of Yovel Year, to liberated servants wearing crowns on their head. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovel, is the Yovel years. The Gemara asks how this can be, for the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel is on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. The Torah therefore states, V'kidash Mishnas HaChamishim, you shall sanctify the 50th year, Melamed, Shemizkadeshes V'holachis Mitchilaso. This teaches that the year becomes sanctified from its beginning, meaning from the first of Tishrei. From the first of Tishrei, it was forbidden to work the land, and while slaves could not yet return to their homes, they were not enslaved to their masters. Rather, they would eat and drink and rejoice with crowns on their head. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.